chapter number 20, and just one verse to start with, all right? And that is verse number 1. Then came the children of Israel, even the whole congregation, into the desert of Zin in the first month, and the people abode in Kadesh. And Miriam died there and was buried there. What's that had to do with anything? I'm not sure. We'll find out. Okay? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you again for the time together tonight. Pray that you would bless as we look into the Word of God, that you would teach us something tonight that would be a help and encouragement to each one of us, young and old. And we pray now these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I got thinking about an inheritance. An inheritance. What's the word inheritance mean? An inheritance means the, or we sometimes say the estate, the real estate. What happens when we hear the word inheritance? We primarily think of what others, what maybe our parents leave behind for us when they pass away. That's our inheritance. Or on the other side, we might say, well, it's what we leave behind for those that follow after us. Our inheritance. In fact, I was doing a little study to see what the difference was between the word inheritance or heritage or legacy, and I found out that they're pretty much used synonymously. I got that word out. I'm not going to try it again. They pretty much mean the same thing. Very little difference in the definition. In fact, I couldn't decipher exactly what the difference was. It was each person I studied was a little bit different what the actual difference was and the meanings of those words. We think of an inheritance, what we leave behind for others. And being the wealthy people that my wife and I are, what I'm going to leave behind for my children. So far, we've got $12.45. They get to split amongst themselves. So they're going to be rolling in the big dough when they mom and dad drop off. Being from a large family, and my wife was from a small family with only five children, I always figured when I was growing up, there ain't going to be no inheritance. Some of us, it's just not even a thought, But not just financial or material inheritance, is how we generally think of that, but our behavioral inheritance, our spiritual inheritance, what others have left behind for us, or what we will leave behind for others. And I want to talk to you tonight about the inheritance of Miriam. We read the verse that talks about Miriam's death. Who was Miriam? Well, we're going to tell you who she was in a little bit. That is a lady, in case you weren't sure. What about the inheritance of Miriam? In fact, I started when I was reading through Numbers, a number of names jumped out at me, and I thought, that's an interesting study. And I did do kind of a brief study a few months ago when I first came across this in my own Bible reading, the inheritance of different people. We might touch on some of those, but the first one that struck me was Miriam. And just reading through, in fact, I think I read through the Numbers in 2 days to get through. I like to read large sections of the Bible because it helps you to get a different picture than if you just pick and choose one chapter at a time. The inheritance or legacy of Miriam. And I got two things I want to focus on tonight. And the first one is, what do we know about Miriam? Now, if I ask you who Miriam was, some of you could probably tell me. She is the sister of who? Moses and Aaron. What do we know about Miriam? Well, let's go back and look at some things concerning Miriam. First of all, she was the sister of Moses and Aaron. In Numbers chapter number 26 and verse number 59, I'll read a verse. If you turn back to Exodus chapter number 2, we'll read something here. But in Numbers 26 verse 59 says, the name of Amram's wife was Jochebed, the daughter of Levi, whom her mother bare to Levi in Egypt. And she bare unto Amram Aaron and Moses and Miriam, their sister. Now, those are the only three children named in the Bible. And like anybody, any other family that you study in the Bible, there may be other children that are not named. Adam and Eve, we know a few names of their children, but the Bible says they bear many other children. Other people, we sometimes think, well, that's not the only children they had. Now, that's important to think about something here. If you go back to Exodus chapter number 2, you there in your Bible? Exodus chapter number 2. Let's look at something in Exodus chapter number 2. She was the sister of Moses and Aaron. I want you to see something. I want to read the Bible because I want you to see it in the Bible. I don't want you to just go by what Pastor Fritz says, because we make a mistake of going by what somebody else says or what a Bible dictionary or we heard somebody preach on. I want you to see something here in Exodus chapter number 2, beginning in verse number, we'll start at verse number 5. You know the story here of the birth of Moses. And verse number 5, and the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along the riverside, and when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him. Did I turn this on? Okay, I'm going to move that out of the way. I'm sorry. I need to have cataract surgery. I'm having a real hard time reading lately, and especially with that shadow. And I just got to put it off till hunting season's over with. So you know my priorities, all right? You notice I'm seeing things that aren't there and not seeing things that are there. But anyways, when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept, and she had compassion on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go?" And it said his sister, Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, and she may nurse the child for thee?" And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, "Go." And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, "Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages." And the woman took the child and nursed it. And the child grew, and she brought him into Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses. And she said, "Because I drew him out of the water." And that's the meaning of the word, of the name Moses, because drew out of the water, draw out from. Now, in what we just read, did you read the name Miriam there? No. Was that Miriam we're talking about? So are you doing this? How do you know that? Because somebody told me it was. Does the Bible ever say it was Miriam? What I want you to see here, Miriam may not have been the only sister that Moses had. Think of that. Now, we assume that it was Miriam, but we don't know that. She's the only one that's named in the Scripture, but that doesn't necessarily mean, if you're familiar with other people in the Bible, that that she was the only sister that Moses and Aaron had. But we often, and everybody says, all the Bible dictionaries, all the study reverends say, well, this must be Miriam because that was a sister. Well, it could have been, it could not. It might not have been Miriam, but it was the sister of Moses. Now, I want you to see that because it's just a thought there, okay? Don't just jump to conclusions because we've always heard something and other people have told us the story that way. I'm telling the story tonight, okay? So I'll tell it my way, okay? It could have been. It may have been Miriam, but we don't know that for certain because her name is not given in this text. But we do know that she was the sister, as Numbers 26 says, she was the sister, the only sister that was named in Scripture, but there could have been other sisters. Now, the second thing I want you to see, what do we know about Miriam? That she was a prophetess. Now, we're Baptists. We don't have women preachers. What's a prophetess?
A couple of people are called, a couple of ladies that are called prophetesses in the Bible. They might be the prophet's wife. They might be a woman that speaks for God. We could literally say, no, I won't get into all that. But turn, if you will, to Exodus chapter number 15. Exodus chapter number 15. Exodus 15 is the first recorded song in the Bible. I love this song. And this is some of us start singing after we got saved. That's a good time to start singing. Biblically, that's when the Israelites, the first recorded song was after the crossing of the Red Sea. In Exodus chapter number 15, the song of Moses, that he sang the victory when they crossed the Red Sea. Verse number 1 says, "Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying," and he goes through this, a great song. I'm not sure what the tune of the song was, probably wasn't a song like we think of songs. It was probably more what we would call a chant or a cheer today. But this was the song. But I want you to see something. The first time we see the name Miriam in the Bible is down in verse number 20 of chapter number 15. And Miriam, the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after her with timbrels and dances. And Miriam answered them, "Sing ye to the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea." Miriam came and added to the song that Moses sang, and she came with her timbrel. What would we call a timbrel today? A tambourine. We don't think of them being used in our culture, except those of us who grew up in the hippie era. We see hippies using them. If you go to the Caribbean or even in Africa, in different parts, and again, sometimes I think it's kind of funny, our idea of what we think is biblical music is European music. And it's not necessarily biblical, but it's a part of our culture. And the hippies, of course, threw that all upside down, so we reject that philosophy of music. But biblical music might surprise us what it actually was. One of the preachers that, when we were in Cape Verde, Brother Philip was joking about when we went to this church to have a service where I was going to preach, they said, "Oh, you'll love this preacher. He likes to sing." They sing. Their song service lasts longer than most church services, and they just like to sing songs. And we recognize the tune of a lot of the songs, but we couldn't sing the word. The English word, just, it's hard to sing when they're singing Portuguese. And he said, the pastor there likes to play his tambourine. Now, sometimes when we're there for a couple of services, that tambourine disappears. But he always finds it again. the hippies up there. But it was just something that's just an instrument that they use. And it might strike us a little bit odd. I don't expect Todd to be playing. I shouldn't even suggest that. He's going to come with one next Sunday. But anyways, notice this. She was playing a tambourine. She was, I guess we could say, this is a worship leader. And by the way, this is not only the first mention of her name. Does anyone know, maybe you have it in your study Bible there, what the name Miriam means? This is the most interesting part about here. What does her name actually mean? The names in the Bible are generally pretty significant. Google. Somebody Googling it. I'll just tell you what it is. The name means rebellion. Isn't that interesting? That's what her name means. What kind of child would name their daughter rebellion? Oftentimes in Bible times, children are not given the name at birth. Even we read Moses, who was named by Pharaoh's daughter after he was weaned. He was given the name Moses by Pharaoh's daughter when Moses' mother brought him to her to present to her. But she was a prophetess. She was a singer, what folks might today call a worship leader. But I don't think that's a biblical term, but that's a term that's thrown around a lot today. But she was referred to when she's first introduced in the Bible as a prophetess. And then, if you jump to Numbers, chapter number 12. Now, we're getting somewhere. I'm just showing you who Miriam was, first of all. Numbers, chapter number 12. I'm glad I reviewed this before the service because I had the right chapter and verse, but the wrong book written down. Numbers, chapter number 12. And this is something that we ought to think of when we think of Miriam, especially when you understand what her name means. Numbers chapter number 12, in verse number 1, I'm going to read a few verses here to show you something. And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman which he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. By the way, that's an interesting text right there. Let me just say this. Where's Ethiopia? In Africa. What color you suppose an Ethiopian woman's skin would be? By the way, for southern folks or evolutionary influenced folks that are believe that there are different races, they would have trouble with that verse. She's obviously black, and she's from Ethiopia. And Miriam and Aaron were upset. I'm not sure why they were upset. Maybe because she wasn't an Israelite. Maybe because of her black skin. I don't know why. And they said, in verse number 2, "Hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us? And the Lord heard it." Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses, and unto Aaron, and unto Miriam, "Come out ye three into the tabernacle of the congregation." Here's siblings that didn't get along very well. Be careful when you don't get along with your siblings. You might come down with a strange case of leprosy. All right? Look at these kids right now. And some of them are pointing at their brothers and sisters right now. "Come out, the three, into the tabernacle of the congregation." And the three came out. And the Lord came down in the pillar of the cloud, and stood in the door of the tabernacle, and they called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth. And he said, "Hear now my words. If there be a prophet," now this is God speaking among you, "I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision, and will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth." That's not talking about doing CPR. We might say face to face. "I'm going to speak to him even apparently and not in dark speeches. The similitude of the Lord shall behold. Wherefore, when were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses?" Now Miriam and Aaron said, "Hey, Moses is our brother. And he claims to be speaking for God. Who's he think he is? Boy, he's got some pride. He really thinks he's somebody." Now, God said Moses was the most humble man on the earth. But their assessment was he's proud and arrogant, and he doesn't deserve to say anything. And verse number 9 says, "The anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. And the cloud departed from off the tabernacle. And behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow. And Aaron looked on Miriam, behold, she was leprous. And Aaron said unto Moses, Alas, my Lord, I beseech thee, lay not this sin upon us, wherein we have done foolishly, and wherein we have sinned. Let her not be as one dead, from whom the flesh of the half consumed, when he cometh out of his mother's womb. And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, Heal her now, O God, I beseech thee. And the Lord said unto Moses, If her father had but spit in her face, should she not be ashamed 7 days? Let her be shut out from the camp 7 days, and after that let her be received in again. And Miriam was shut out from the camp 7 days, and the people journeyed not till Miriam was brought in again. And we see Miriam the rebel. Which, what does the name Miriam mean? Rebel. And here she is, playing the rebel. Now, I find this interesting. And again, in studying this, I never noticed this before. But when Aaron and Miriam accused Moses of something and God came down and spoke and struck Miriam with leprosy, do you ever see Miriam repenting of her sin? No. Isn't that strange? Verse number 11 says Aaron repented. Moses, forgive us. God, forgive us for what we've done. Take this leprosy. Miriam never repented. Isn't that interesting? Rebels don't like to repent, do they? This was, by the way, the last thing we read about Miriam until her death. Now, I'm talking tonight about Miriam's, the inheritance of Miriam, the inheritance that she left behind, or her legacy. And let me say this, our inheritance, our legacy, we don't have to wait till we die to leave an inheritance or legacy. In fact, I want to show you two different things about Miriam's legacy that she left behind. And this is her legacy. First of all, her legacy during her life. Her legacy during her life. And her legacy, secondly, after her death. This is interesting. I just find this fascinating. It's amazing when you study the Bible just by itself. What you can learn and what you can apply to your life. Well, what was her legacy? During her life, when she led this, her and Aaron led this rebellion, and Aaron repented of his rebellious spirit, but Miriam, the Bible never says that she repented. But still, because of the repentance of Aaron, because of the prayer of Moses, God lifted the leprosy from her, let her stay outside the camp for 7 days, and then took the leprosy away. But what effect does that rebellion have upon others around you? If you read on into the next chapter, we get to chapter number 13, and it says, "The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan." We read in chapter number 13 of the 12 spies. Right after Miriam's rebellion, right after her leprosy, right after her and Aaron rebelled and Aaron repented, but Miriam just kind of went along with it. She didn't weep any tears. She didn't repent and didn't even so much as say that she was sorry for what she did. And the next thing that happens, the 12 spies went out. And you know, again, the story of the 12 spies and the little song that I like to sing, 10 were bad and 2 were good. What do you think they saw in Canaan? 10 were bad and 2 were good. Some saw giants, like Pastor Fritz, big and strong. No, I'm just kidding. Some saw grapes on clusters. This is fun because you can slap somebody next to you, clustered along. And some saw giants, big and strong. 10 were bad and 2 were... You know the story, right, of the 10 spies? 10 of them came back with an evil report. And 2 of them came back with a good report. Now, just one little section I want to read from this in chapter number 14. And, after the spies came back and they shared the evil report in verse number 32, and we saw the giants of the sons of Anak in verse number 33, and in our own sight as grasshoppers they were, so we were in their sight. In verse number 1 of chapter number 14, "And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried. The people wept that night, and all the children of Israel murmured against Moses." By the way, just a couple chapters before, who was murmuring against Moses? Miriam and Aaron. And now we blame it on the spies. But in reality, it started before the spies. It led to the spies. And that was Miriam's legacy. The effect she had, the contribution, if you will, she gave to those during her lifetime. They murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, "Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died." Notice they didn't murmur against Miriam. They murmured against Aaron and Moses, but not against Miriam. Maybe because she was leading in the murmuring? I don't know.
And again, certainly there was an influence there if it wasn't in person. Now, I'm talking about the legacy that we leave behind, the influence we have on those around us. And then Joshua and Caleb, I got to love them in this story. They calmed the crowd down, got them to realize something. And in chapter number 14, a couple of verses here, in verse number 6, it says, "And Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. They spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, The land which we passed through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then He will bring us into the land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear." What was the name Miriam? What's it mean? Rebel. Actually, the word rebel there would be Miriam's name. Only don't be a Miriam against the Lord. Neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. We'll eat them for lunch is what we will do. That's good, isn't it? For they are bread to us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. Joshua and Caleb stayed the angry crowd and said, don't be rebels. Don't rebel against God. Don't rebel against God's men like the other 10 spies and like Miriam before them. You see the influence that Miriam had. Now, she probably didn't know. In fact, most of us would read through that and never make the connection. How rebellion affects others. And of course, Moses prayed for them, and God cursed the people, and Moses prayed for God to spare the people, and God said, just wipe them out, and God cursed them and said, they're going to spend 40 more years in the wilderness, and those that are 20 years old are going to die. And another great text in the Bible, their carcasses are going to fall in the wilderness. They're going to die in the buzzards. That's the Pastor Fritz story version. That was the legacy she had during her life. Young people, don't think that your spirit is not going to affect those around you. Don't think that it's not going to influence your siblings, your friends in your neighborhood, your kids in school. Well, you homeschool. That's your siblings, I guess. don't think it's not going to influence people around you, because it will. Even strangers that don't even know you personally, they will be influenced by your legacy. You leave them an inheritance, good or bad. I hope we don't leave them an inheritance of rebellion. And then after her death, there's the first part of her legacy. What about her legacy? Generally, when we think of legacy, we think of after somebody's death. How does our death affect them? What do we leave behind? How do they remember us? Let's go to our text that we started with in Numbers chapter number 20 again, where we read the end of the verse again. Says, "And Miriam died there and was buried there." And let me just say this. Miriam did not have a husband. I don't know why. She would have been a prize. Her name means rebellion, and when we see her, she's rebelling against God. Maybe there's a reason she never had a husband. Just reading into it a little bit here. She left no children behind. But she did leave a legacy for someone behind. Those within her influence, she left a legacy behind. In fact, it says in verse number 1, the children of Israel came to the whole congregation into the desert of Zin the first month, and the people abode in Kadesh. And again, names are important in the Bible. Kadesh means holy.
She died in a holy place. And again, the picture is here of God's desire, and the Old Testament and the travelings of the Israelites through the wilderness is filled with pictures and types. And one of the pictures, and you're going to see the story here in a little bit, earlier God told Moses to smite a rock and water would come forth out of the rock. And that was a picture of, the rock was Jesus Christ. What was that a picture of? The crucifixion of Christ. Jesus was crucified for us, and Moses smote the rock, and water of life came out of that rock that kept them alive in the wilderness. But now they come to this holy place, and God's giving us a picture of what it takes to make us holy, what it takes to get us saved. We don't re-crucify Christ again, but rather we do what? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And you're going to see that in a little bit. God's fixing to give the nation of Israel a great picture through Moses. But in the process of that time, Miriam chose to die there. Well, I don't think she had much choice in it. But that's the place where she died. When they came to this place named Kadesh, which means holy. And I'm thinking of a verse, I'm going to paraphrase it. The Bible says, he being dead yet speaketh, she being dead yet influences. She left an inheritance, not to her, she didn't have any children, but I want you to see the influence she had on those during her life. The one event that we read about her where she specifically named during her life, her name means rebellion. She led in a rebellion of God's people that caused them to wander in the wilderness for another 40 years. And those that are 20 years old and older died in that wilderness. And now we read her name again, and it's at her death. And it says in chapter number 20, in verse number 2, the next verse is after it talks about her death. And there was no water for the congregation, and they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron. Are you seeing her legacy coming up again? Where did it learn to be that way? And the people chode with Moses. They complained. They murmured. They contended with Moses. And spake, saying, would God that we had died when our brethren died before the Lord. And ye brought us up with the congregation of the Lord into this wilderness that we and our cattle should die there. Isn't that interesting? The same song that they were singing before, after Miriam's complaint, after her living legacy, and now after her dying legacy. They're singing the second verse of the same song. And you go down to chapter number 20 and verse number, I'm not telling the whole story here. You know the story in verse number 10. And so as Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together under the rock, and he said unto them, hear now ye, what? Rebels. What's the name Miriam mean? Rebel. You're a bunch of Miriams. Hear ye, rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock? And Moses lifted up his hand with his rod. He smote the rock twice, and the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beasts. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, because ye obeyed me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the... And you know the story, because of Moses' sin in disobeying God. The psalmist says that Moses, that their rebellion led Moses. Now Moses was personally responsible. God held him responsible for what he did, but it was their rebellion that pushed him over the edge, that made him overreact. And made him do something he should not have done because he was angry. And isn't it interesting that this is all told right after the death of Miriam, our dear departed rebel? Let's rebel. That's our inheritance. That's the legacy that she left behind in her life and in her death. Now, I know that, well, I thought Miriam was a good little girl. Well, if that was her, she was when she was younger.
that could have been another sister. That's why I brought that out, because she's not named in Exodus chapter number 2, but we just make that assumption that that's the same one. She's the only other sister that is given the name in the Bible. That doesn't mean that she was the only one. But here's her legacy during life, that folks immediately, under her influence, because of her actions, caused others to rebel. Because of her, at her death, those that were close to her, those that looked up to her, again, mounted a rebellion against God's people. Isn't that interesting? Now, my question is this. What is my inheritance or legacy? How do I affect other people? That's a good question to ask myself. How do my actions reflect other people around me? We talked about kindness last week. I told the kids during the camp out that I'll tell them a story because they probably don't remember it. That was over 2 weeks ago. Who can remember anything from 2 weeks ago? I like to, whenever I get a chance, to go out on my bicycle. And if you ride your bicycle around here, chances are, and I've kind of learned two things. I know where the gravel roads are. Sometimes I just go on some. Sometimes I try to avoid them. I also know who has dogs. I've learned the hard way. Actually, when I was a teenager, I wish I would have listened to somebody when I was a teenager because they told me what to do, but whatever. I know everything. I'm a teenager, right? I thought, well, the way to handle a dog, of course, I'm bigger, I'm smarter than a dog. I can ride and do a karate kick at the same time and hit them right in the chops and turn away. That doesn't always work. And if that doesn't work, I got my water bottle. I'll squirt them with a water bottle. That works every time if you can not tip yourself over in the process of doing it. But I found something else out. And somebody told me this, and I finally thought, you know, I ought to listen to people when they tell me things. I'm not a teenager anymore, so I can listen, right? I learned two things. First of all, I reminded this just a couple of days before our camp out, a dog came. Well, two dogs came out after me. I was outnumbered, 2-1. Wasn't looking good. My gun's back in. Well, I shouldn't say that. I don't have to worry about that because I learned something. First of all, speak kindly to the dog. Hey, buddy, how you doing? Boy, it's a great day. Oh, isn't that wonderful? It's good to see you too. And just start talking to the dog. And that usually is enough right there. If that doesn't work, stop pedaling. If you're not moving, it's no fun to chase you. It's like with a bully. If you're not fighting, they'll throw one punch. Well, that's no fun. Let's go find somebody else to pick on. Just stop moving. And 9 times out of 10, they lost interest. They're gone. Well, this guy's too friendly. He's not going to taste good. He's too sweet. We're not going to bother with him. And it's amazing how you affect animals, how you affect people too. And if it doesn't stop, and if it doesn't work to stop pedaling, you go to the third step, you just stop altogether. Just come to us and keep talking the whole time. Hey, buddy, and they're about to rip your legs off. Hi, but oh yeah, I probably taste good, I'm sure, but you really don't want to eat me today. Just talk to them, and every single time, they just, this ain't no fun. And it's amazing when you go out knocking on doors how you can diffuse people by just speaking kindly to them. And you can have that influence on others if you just learn to be kind to one another. Well, they're mean, they're ugly. And yeah, I've met some mean, ugly dogs too. But you just speak kind to them and don't fight back. Just kind of whatever. Yeah, sure. Whatever, yeah. And you're not going to get anywhere with them. Might as well not struggle with them. And it's over with. How do I influence those around me? How do I affect them? Do I share the gospel with them? Or do I just kind of, whatever. And then, not only how do I affect those around me, what's my living legacy, but what's my dying legacy? What are people going to remember be my? Boy, he was a mean old cuss. Now, they won't say it at your funeral because we lie about people at their funerals, even if they were mean old cuss. They'll say it a month after your funeral. Boy, they really were a mean old cuss.
All right? They really were good for nothing. They were wrapped, but at your funeral, oh, they were the sweetest person you'll ever met. And they were the kindest, the most gentle. Oh, you're lying just to make yourself feel better. But in reality, how are people going to remember you? What's the legacy you'll leave behind? Oh, they really loved the Lord. Well, they didn't really care about anybody. They didn't serve anybody but themselves. All they cared about is money and making a living, and no time for their family, no time for others, no concern for others in need around them. What's my inheritance? How does my life affect people today? And what will be the legacy? What would be my living legacy? What will be the living inheritance I leave behind or I have beside me? And how will my inheritance, how will my children, how will those that are lived and walked beside me, what effect have I had that'll carry on from one generation to another? That's an interesting question to ask. And you look at Miriam, and I've got a whole list of Bible characters. If you look at them and look at their legacy, their living legacy and their dying legacy, it's amazing what you can learn from them. Now, we might know some things about them, and some of them might be accurate, might not be accurate, but it's interesting to see how their life affected their immediate circle, their family, those around them, and what they left behind, what the following generations did after they left, after they were no longer on the scene. I'm going to ask you to